Okay. I'd like to thank everybody for coming for the first public hearing, which we'll have tonight, is to I'll read the notice that was in the paper. Town of Carroll would notice a public hearing to obtain financing for a new public library building not exceed $3 million. Notice is hereby given that a public hearing will be held by the town board of the town of Carroll, New York, at the town hall, Main Street, Carroll, New York, on March 17th at 7 o'clock in the evening for the purpose of considering whether to pass a resolution subject to a permissive referendum to obtain long-term financing in an amount not to exceed $3 million to construct a new public library building. All persons interested in the matter will be heard at such time and place specified. Dated March 1st, Tara Rumpf, Town Clerk. So, at this time, what I'd like to do is turn this public hearing over to Jill Schneider and other members of the library board. I don't know who is going to be participating, but Jill, if you could start the public hearing for us. And
thank you all for coming. Apparently, I drew the short straw, and I'm the trustee that will be giving the presentation in the beginning about why we're all here tonight. This is a picture of my son at the library, and this is how I got involved in the Carroll Library. I moved to Carroll about 7 years ago and knew not a soul, and went to the library, and it was my solace. It was a place I could go with the kids. It was a place I could meet in the community. And, you know, in Carroll, we don't have a lot of options, so I think having a really strong public library is very important. I was a member of the Friends of the Library, and then I became a trustee, and I'm very happy to be associated with this library because it's such a wonderful library. Why do we need a new library? Why are we here? Well, we've all heard that our library is undersized. I assume a lot of you are patrons of the library. You know that we just don't have space. We don't have adequate space for our programming. We have to weed through our collections. There was a study done by the Mid-Hudson Library System, and they said, based on our 2000 census, which we think in 2010 we're going to be increased in size, that we were undersized by two-thirds, that we should be three times the size that we are right now. From 2000, you can see the graph on the left, circulation. Our circulation has gone up almost 35%. Interlibrary loans have gone up, you know, over 2,000%. Our patrons are up 28% increase. We have 48,000 users last year. Programs are more popular than ever. We had a 1,000% increase in our programs from 2000 to 2009. So that's basically saying that there was 1,135 opportunities for Carroll and surrounding community members to do something at the library, be it dance, art, writing, children's programs, you name it. And we just know our space is inadequate. That space was never really meant for a library. It's been added on. It's functional. It works, but we need more space. Here's some of the programs that we have. The popularity of our children's programs. We don't have enough room. There's lots of kids. In a time where people are concerned about school budgets, about music and art being cut out of schools, the library is a place where kids and families can go for free to have these programs. We have computers. We have a computer station. It's very overcrowded. There's no privacy. Everyone's allotted a half an hour a day. And to the people that can't have high-speed internet access at home or don't have it, a half an hour a day, it's not enough if you need to come to the library for a job application to do your taxes. We need more space for computers. This, again, is just showing the popularity of our children's programs. We also have a lot of adult programs, and they're very popular as well. Sometimes our programs are so popular we can't use the library. We have to move across to this room. And as you'll see in our new library design, we're incorporating a community meeting room that could be used by the town and by the library. So some of these very popular programs, you know, can happen in those spaces. We have no storage. This is the storage space for the library. It kind of looks like my kid's room. But, you know, it's just, it's hard to function if you don't have enough space. This is the circulation and records desk. Some libraries have a whole room for this. We have a very small desk, and it's not adequate. It's just hard to keep the library functioning efficiently with such a small space. So a brief history of our library. We know as of 2000, our library was undersized. Before, we had a feasibility that was funded by the town board, thank you very much, in 2008, that looked at what we could do, because we know we need a new library. What can we do? What's best for the town? So we looked at a couple of options, including just expanding this building, building another building. They had previously looked at renovating a building on Main Street, and the study came back, and it said that our best option would be to build a new building, and the town board said, well, go ahead, look at that option. Let's explore that more. So we did. Last year, we applied to the USDA for a low-interest loan, and not only did we receive the low-interest loan, we got a grant for $200,000, and then we have a local share match of $100,000, and that's why we're here today. We have an opportunity to fund a new library, and we think that even though economically it might be hard to ask the townspeople for money, I think the need for the library is there. We have a really good opportunity with a low-interest loan, and we have a $200,000 grant that we could use for a new library. That could possibly be the impetus for a revival of CARO. So everyone wants to know, what is this new library going to cost? We had this study that was commissioned in 2008, and soup to nuts for a brand new library, which would be on the back parcel behind the town hall, $1,370,000. That included the building, furniture, parking, landscaping, everything, you name it. It also included a lot of green design features, like geothermal wells that some of you might know are at the Bank of Green County, that would keep our maintenance costs down. We have another estimate from 2010 from the architecture firm that we've been working with, that same building would probably be run around $2,900,000 now because of the decrease in construction costs from 2008 to 2010. In actuality, we don't know how much it's going to cost until we get into final design, but what we're asking from the public is to approve a bond for no more than the $3 million mark that we were approved from USDA. I can tell you that I'm kind of a new trustee, but there's five of us, and I've never seen five people that work so hard to keep costs down. I'm sure the architecture firm gets tired of us saying, how much is that going to cost? How much is that going to cost? How can we cut the cost? So we're very conscious about keeping the cost for the library down. Oops. Well, this slide's not showing up so well, but I'll basically tell you what it said. We have a way to fund the library. We have three ways to fund the library. We have grants, we have loans, and we have our local share. The low-interest loan at 4.25% is much better than anything we could get commercially. We did check with a couple of local banks, and it's about 2 percentage points less than we could get if we had a commercial loan. Also, the 30-year time frame makes those annual payments much smaller and a little more doable for a town of our size. There's also lots of grants that we have been and will apply for. We have the $200,000 from USDA. We're also applying for member items from Congressman Murphy's office. There's lots of federal grants. There's CDBG grants. We're going to be applying for all of these to try to help bring the cost down. And we're also going to start with our fundraising initiative. Just right before this presentation, two people said that they were anonymously giving $200 to help fund the new library. So we haven't even started a fundraising initiative, and I think people see the need and are willing to give. So why are we here right now? We were awarded this grant from USDA, and there was a time frame on it. We put in a pre-application. They said, get your full application in about 3 months. Well, that was 4 months ago, so we're moving as fast as we can to get this application in so we can secure that low-interest loan and the $200,000 grant. The $200,000 grant that's earmarked for the CARO Library is the largest ever awarded by the USDA in their community facility project. She was very excited. She said most grants are about $50,000, but you know, they've come here, they've seen the need, and they awarded us this grant. The interest rates right now are very low, and there's talk of inflation in them going up. The 4.25% for 30 years, I think, is very reasonable for a long-term construction project like this. And our need isn't waning. If we delay this, we're just going to need a library even more 5 years from now, 10 years from now. As I previously mentioned, the construction costs are down. So we think the library is going to be less than that $3 million mark. That's our up to top of the line mark. We're trying to, you know, we obviously would be trying to pull that portion down that we would be bonding, that we would have to use from the bond. And that would be a good economic stimulus for the local construction industry. We talked with the architecture firm about having the bid package be in very small, manageable pieces so that local companies could bid and could be competitive and could work on something that they could feel, you know, pride in their own backyard. So what does the library currently cost you? A lot of people have no idea. They see the $2 on their school tax bill, and they say, oh, that's what we pay for the library. That's only a portion of what you pay, and I think it's pretty amazing, and it's kudos to Deborah what they can do with the money that they do get. But the average house in Caro is assessed at $100,000, so that's your assessed value, not your full market value, and you pay about $35 a year for your library. So the cost for the loan that we have the offer from USDA for the $3,070,000 loan at 4.25%, the annual cost to the taxpayers would be approximately $126,000, $200 per year for 29 years. It's a 30-year funding window, but it's 29 years based on, and this I think our bond counsel can explain better, but sometimes you're closing, you don't get your full 30 payments. So actually by saying there's 29 payments, that 186 is higher than it would be if there were 30 payments. So what does that mean? That means for the average household in Caro, you're spending less than a dollar a week for this new library. A dollar a week, if you went to the library and you rented 3 DVDs, that's what you would be paying for in the new library. If you got 2 hardcover books, just rented them instead of buying them, that's what you'd be paying for a brand new library. And I hope you'll see in the architecture presentation coming up next that the library's going to offer a lot more than just books and DVDs. And we also have one more prop.
Well, explain the potato chips.
Yes. Why you all have potato chips, or some of you have potato chips in your chair.
As Jill said, the average household would spend about a dollar a week. So we're a nation of snackers. Every week we go to the grocery store and we'll buy a couple bags of snacks. This particular bag is just $3.99. $4. So you're spending 4 times more for your snacks than you are for your library. And at the end of the year, you'll have no chips. You'll be out about $200. Your waistband will be snug. But for $50, you can have a new library sitting in the back. They made me do it.
Apparently Maureen drew the other short straw. So the good news about those numbers, I think $50 is very reasonable, but the good news is that this doesn't include any other reductions due to additional grant awards, donations, or fundraisers. And we feel very confident that we can raise some money in our community. When it went up for fireworks time, there was a whole bunch of people standing here throwing money around for fireworks. So we're hoping that that the same thing would happen for the library. Again, that the cost estimates are down. And there's also been some question about operating costs for the new library. With some of these green designs, that our operating costs, the maintenance costs, would be lower than it would be for, obviously, for this building, which is about the same size as what the new library would be. Actually, this building's a little smaller. But we'd be keeping those costs down. Positive impacts of the new library. The new library could attract people and businesses to move to Caro. The new library could possibly increase property values. The town, and I think this is a big one, the town could consolidate scattered offices into one central building and be more efficient. When we came with the feasibility study, the town said, well, you need a new library and we need new space, so you guys go and we'll take your space. And I think it would be good for our town to get the police out of the snack bar and to get, you know, the people in the bunker to come into an office building. And there also will be efficiencies and costs in having all the town offices in one spot. And there also will be increased foot traffic to area businesses. We all know that this happens, you know, when people come to the library, they go to the Cozy Cup and get a drink, or they'll stop at Slater's on their way home instead of going to Price Chopper or whatever. And this is why, this is the future of our community, this is the future for our children, this really is the community center for our town, and I thank you very much for coming out, and I'm going to turn it over to Paul Mays now, who is the architect who's been working feverishly with us to have a preliminary conceptual design for what we're anticipating could be on in the back lot. Thank you.
Thank you. Many of you were here a little earlier, and This is going to be a very brief run-through because we only have a few minutes to get through this part of the program. But some of you have heard some of it, and some of it I'll emphasize a little bit of what Jill was saying. We talked a little earlier about how the architecture of a library can be a reflection of the community that it represents. And I was showing pictures at the public meetings we've been doing over the past couple weeks, as well as earlier this evening, about how different communities can sort of see themselves in the architecture of their library buildings. Not just in what the building looks like, but what the building can accomplish in terms of a floor plan and program. This is the Ogden Library in Walton, the Blackwatch Memorial Library in Ticonderoga. These are all libraries we're working on in different communities, all of which are of similar size to what's in Cairo in terms of community size. The Port Jervis Free Library down in Orange County is an old Carnegie building as well, and we talked about how the styling of that building is a reflection of how that community sees itself. Very blue-collar railroad town that was built up around a sort of industrial work ethic, versus another Carnegie Library building from the exact same year in Gloversville, which had sort of a higher brow opinion of itself at the time that was constructed. These are all libraries we're working on in different areas, and I hope what you see is that the design of a contemporary library can also be a reflection of the community that it serves. This is a library that's currently under construction in Saugerties right now, and you can see the original library building here, and everything from this point over is an addition that we've designed that's currently being built that picks up on the material palette, the massing, and the scale from the original building. So it's a reflection of the architecture of the community and the architecture of the historic building. The Gardner Library in Ulster County is on an old rail trail and picks up some of the design features relative to a railroad town, actually. And Jill mentioned many of the sustainable design features that we look at in various libraries. Things from a cupola that brings natural light into the center of a building, large open window areas that provide open and airy reading areas, as well as reducing the need for artificial light and therefore reducing the electrical costs. Things like a geothermal well system that can heat and cool a building that have a long-term efficiency and a payback over the period of 7 to 12 to 15 years, depending on the project. These are all things we look at over the course of a project in working with the committee and working with the board, and balancing that against the upfront cost, the initial cost to construct a library. This is the Mechanicville District Public Library on the Hudson River up in Saratoga County. And this is a masonry building, but you can see it picks up some of the clay tile architecture that's indigenous to that community of old mill buildings. One of the ones we wanted to feature a little bit is the Middleburg Library in Scarry County. And this was actually built about 10 years ago. And since its construction has led to the growth of the revitalization of the downtown. In fact, at my alma mater at RPI, it's used in the urban studies program as one of the case studies for revitalization of downtown and business districts. So Middleburg, in some ways, is a very similar Main Street type facades to what you see in Cairo, so old frame buildings and so forth, that started with the addition of this new building, brand new library that we built on the corner where there was an old gas station, that then led to a series of facade renovation grants and other improvements of the businesses and other facilities up and down the street. New lampposts, new clocks, all this that instilled community pride and really dressed up the look of the downtown. Things as simple as QB's Pizza next door, putting on a new facade, new lighting, an outdoor eating area. All of this happened after the impetus of the library as a new structure, a new thing downtown. There's not enough that can be said about increasing the foot traffic, not just during construction. Obviously, it increases the ability of local contractors to work on a facility that's a fair amount of size and therefore acts as a stimulus in that way. But once downtown, the increased patronage that we always see after a library opening means that more people are coming into this area to use the local businesses, to shop in the local areas, and from a sustainable design feature, if this is something that appeals to you, it's reducing the travel and the inefficiency of going in a suburban community from place to place to place. By having a shared destination, people can visit the library, the town offices, the post office, and so forth from one location. It becomes an important feature. The insides of the libraries also, even on a simple library with a relatively low budget, trying to create a sense of architecture in the community that they can be proud of. So I haven't shown many of those because this needs by definition to be a very short presentation for this one, but I'd be happy to show another presentation at some point with the longer version where we talk about the interiors of the library and their design. But you can see trying to engage the street, engage the pedestrian. In looking at the architecture of these libraries, whether new or older buildings, we look at the community that surrounds it for a sense of the context. So you can see Main Street in Cairo and Railroad Ave that runs here. We're currently in this building right now in the town hall. And the lot that we were talking about is this large open area behind. How does this fit into the community? A 7,000 square foot building is give or take what we've talked about in terms of size requirements, based on the program, based on what we're trying to accomplish in this library building. And a 7,000 square foot building would be larger, as Jill said, than the town hall that's there now. So when you look up and down this main street, what locations or what lots would really be eligible to provide that kind of service? One other feature you might anticipate is potentially looking at an existing building. Again, the square footage in an existing building would be difficult to find. And there's also some architectural components to that, the floor loadings and so forth necessary as defined by New York State Building Code for library loadings are very different, plus getting a building that wasn't designed with the layout in mind to minimize staff requirements for a new library. All these fall under the category of the long-term operating costs. So we looked a little bit and at more length than some of our other presentations at the history of Cairo as well as what's there now in terms of the existing context and what's there. We start with the main street and the downtown business area, and you can see this sense of community pride from roughly 100 years ago as the buildings were very well maintained, presented themselves to the streets. Even the people took a great deal of pride in how they presented themselves as they were in public, and buildings have a very public presence as well. Something as simple as an old grocery and the way they established not just the symmetry of the building, but the way things laid out. It was a pride in business as well as a pride in community. Institutional buildings, we've looked at the architecture of the various churches, municipal buildings, and so forth, but even old, larger buildings like this that have the advantage of having a fair scale, but identify with the history of the community. And of course, the geography is something that can't be misunderstood as well. So we have the mountain ranges, the waterways that pass through the community and so forth. The history of the railroading in the community and bringing ideas from the outside into Cairo, into many of the small towns throughout New York and actually throughout the United States as railroad developed. But that's in some ways the idea of a library as well, is that ability to bring things from the outside, outside ideas, outside information, and make them accessible right here where you live. And of course, looking at this area, because it is such a beautiful part of the Hudson Valley, is also talking about the industry of people coming here, getting out of the hot, dank cities, and spending time in the country, and what that meant in terms of boarding houses, hotels, and the visiting population who came here and would, in some ways, give Cairo a sense of pride because people were spending their money and their time to come to this place. We're looking at a shot of the old hotel that was on this site before this building was here and the site that we're talking about. And you can see, obviously, some national pride going on, too, with the festivities that were going on that day. But it sort of ties us physically and emotionally to that pride of place and that history of place. The current location, this is the existing town hall. So Railroad Ave is here and Main Street is here. And the location back in this area is the one that was determined to be most eligible based on the feasibility study that was done a few years ago. As a consequence of putting together a building program that is establishing what we were trying to accomplish in the building, we arrived at a footprint of plus or minus 7,000 square feet and show it located on the northwest end of that lot so that it affords us several opportunities. As Jill mentioned, by evacuating the existing town hall building, it frees up a great deal of space for potentially municipal renovations or consolidating municipal offices, both from the waterworks building and the municipal building across the street, allowing for greater efficiency in municipal services, particularly if this building is somewhat renovated and increased in efficiency as well. It also allows us to put a library in a location that, if we're able to arrange the hardscape and softscape in such a way, we can create a boulevard entry that comes right to the entry of the library, drop-off area, parking improvements, and so forth, that dress up this whole area as a civic campus. There would obviously be very important considerations in the design of the building relative to the neighbors and the surrounding area, partly as part of a concern for the environment, partly as concern to be good neighbors and be a good civic institution. So as an example, one of many, things like lighting on the exterior of the building, typically we would put exterior downlights in the soffits of the building so that we're not uplighting the building and creating light pollution. Site lighting might be accomplished with bollards that are lower and directing light down rather than tall lampposts that are spreading light over parking areas and so forth. The potential is there for doing things like a geothermal system to heat and cool the building, or to use daylight harvesting systems to reduce the energy requirements for lighting the building. All of those are possible on this site and with this particular layout. One thing we've even shown is taking the old gazebo that at one point was over here, maybe even making that a feature in the center of this civic campus. There was a very interesting comment, and part of our design process is typically to incorporate public comments as appropriate and when they can make for better design. And one idea is possibly trying to tie back to Main Street directly along the side of the building and creating at least a walkway or an entry to the civic, to the center of the civic campus directly from Main Street to give the building some more presence out there. The building as conceptually designed, and it's very early in that stage right now, follows several fundamentals of library design that allow for maximum flexibility of space. So entering the lobby and being able to lock off the library proper allows us to use the meeting room, which is shown seating about 100 people, with storage areas, kitchenette, and restrooms all accessible even if the library is closed. That allows for flexibility and shared space with municipal functions and other things that may happen. Meeting rooms we find in libraries are often not what your parents thought meeting rooms were. They're not simply for 7 o'clock meetings on weeknights. Often a meeting room will be used from 10 to 12 for young children's programs and story hours, and in the afternoon for after school programs, homework assistance, tutoring, possibly English as second language, and then in the evenings for adult programming and adult functions, on weekends for crafts and so forth. So the meeting room is really a multi-purpose room that's become in some ways an essential part of the overall library design. The way that the consolidation of staffing is done to make for efficient deliveries, I won't go into a lot of detail, but suffice it to say, the two closets that currently serve as the staff areas are greatly expanded and made more efficient in this design, as well as the ability to provide supervision from one location over the breadth of the footprint of the building. With lower browsing collections like periodicals and New and Popular in the front, it allows natural light from the windowed areas and also allows people at the circ desk to see over those spaces and into the other areas. Particularly focusing on a children's collection that has several features, the meeting room obviously can serve for large functions, but there's even a small area in the story hour or toddler area to allow for the segregation of groups of children for their safety and for their comfort. You'll see as well throughout the layout there are many locations for computer stations with hardwired, and of course with wireless, that opportunity exists throughout the library in many areas as well. Some features as you come into the children's area include stroller parking, for example, right inside the entrance, as parents bring children in strollers and actually accommodating that idea of the fact that people are coming with large pieces and making the library space itself less crowded. The library board's talked as we've gone along about ways to maintain the lowest possible cost and still getting the services we need. One option might be, for example, to eliminate the meeting room, or more accurately, to defer the meeting room or multi-purpose room to a future phase. That's a possibility, although it loses some of the function and some of the flexibility generated by its inclusion in the project. As Jill mentioned, pursuing various grants, the USDA grant is a huge boon, and I work with many clients throughout New York State. I've never had a library client get close to that amount of money from a USDA grant, so that is a coup in and of itself. Certainly DLD grants that are administered through the local library systems and other grant opportunities are things that we would be exploring with the committee as we move along in order to maintain a lower cost. One other idea I wanted to mention that has to do with the local economy, and then I'll end quickly. A lot of libraries, and we don't show it specifically here, but it's something that the committee is considering, is something called a SOHO. It's an acronym we use to describe a small office home office. With more and more people working from home or telecommuting or working several days at home and a few days in the office, many people don't have the opportunity to actually have a space to hold a meeting, for example. So a small conference room in a library that seats six to eight to 10 people is an opportunity potentially for local businesses or people in who work from home to actually reserve that space, be able to hold a meeting in that space. And where you used to go to the library to maybe make a photocopy, and then maybe as the years went on, you might go to the library to send a fax, you might now actually use a Soho as a place to hold a meeting with clients, if you don't have room at your kitchen table, for example. And it greatly expands the flexibility of the local community to provide these types of services to people who are in business locally. It's the kind of thing that typically is also set up for telecommuting and wired very heavily for different data functions as well. So that is a really quick overview of where we stand with conceptual design for the library, and we've been asked to keep it short, so I'll stop there and we can see if there are any questions or anything we need to answer. So thank you for the time.
Thank you very much. Okay, thank you. All right, at this time we'll open up for questions from the audience that could be directed to the library board, the architects, the town board, whomever. So, yes.
First question for the engineer. What's the advantage of the curved wall in the front? It seems like it's it costs as much to build that curved wall as it would be to make a straight wall across the whole front of the place and have more volume for the buck?
That's an excellent question. I'll emphasize again, it's a very conceptual design at this point. One of the ideas behind that curved wall was to put a glass wall back underneath a trellis, and the trellis can be designed in such a way, I was talking about this at some of the earlier presentations, that it would block the light in June, but allow the light to hit those windows in December. It's one of the sustainable design ideas by retreating the wall back from that surface and creating an angled trellis above it that you can create a very efficient building by getting natural heat in certain seasons and eliminating that. We're looking at several different schemes, and actually squaring off that wall is actually one of the things that we're exploring at the moment. We've done several different sketches that we've been talking about. So by no means is that a defining issue in the design of that layout. Architecturally, it created a little bit of flow, but whether it's worth it in terms of the long-term efficiency, it was just an initial idea. Good question, though.
Thank you.
Yes. I'd like to say something. You're good. You're going to sell the Brooklyn Bridge, I'll tell you. Where are we going to get the money from? We can't even pay for the sewer system here in Carroll, and you want to build a $2 million library. Who's going to pay for it? The taxpayers? I got $20,000 worth of taxes I just paid. Am I going to be able to afford to buy it? I'm going to move up to Reno where they don't pay no taxes at all. If I have to. But I mean, and they got a library up there and it don't cost that much. But I mean, all the town people here in Carroll, they're all senior citizens, can they afford it? And can they afford to give a library if a ton of people don't pay taxes?
I just have a question. The library trustee said that it would cost approximately $52 more on your tax bill for the loan. Does the library board have a figure that what would be additional in the operating cost? Because now the operating cost, I'm assuming, is for this building, which is paid by the town. So this would be another separate cooling, electric, phone, whatever bill. I think they pay for their own phone, so I take that part back, John. Just so that people are clear, please don't misunderstand, I am very much in favor. But I think we need to be sure that everybody's looking at all the costs, not just $52 a year, so that people are not taken by surprise if this all passes and their tax bill goes up more than that.
I want to say we did think about that, because obviously that would be an additional cost, and the Middleburg Library is about 7,000 square feet, so it's roughly the same size as our library. They do not have the geothermal system that we're contemplating. We're not sure we'll have, but regardless, their operation cost is about $10,000 a year. We think that with the efficiency of moving some of the town offices, there's a possibility of, you know, moving the police here so there'd be a presence on Main Street, possibility of maybe moving some of the offices from the assessor's office, moving, not having to heat and cool that bunker building. We think that would offset a big chunk of that library operating budget. I mean, $10,000, I don't know what the town pays for maintenance of this building right now, which it's true that the library isn't included in that, but, you know, that's one of the reasons we want to do sustainable design, is to keep that maintenance cost down, which, I mean, $10,000 for a building of that size is, I know, a lot less than what it costs to maintain this building right now.
Mm-hmm. If I could add one aspect to that, as we work with library committees and boards, that's often part of that discussion. So when we're evaluating what systems are included or not included, part of it is the long-term cost as well. So as the example that she just gave, a geothermal system has a higher upfront cost, but if it pays back in 7 to 12 years, then long-term, the town or the library is actually saving money on that. The question is, again, what's palatable at this stage for construction, and what's it going to be over the long term? So it's part of the ongoing discussion before decisions are made.
I just think it's important that everything be out there, because I don't think people should be taken by surprise at the end. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I'm in favor of the library.
I think it's important that everything should be out there, too. And one thing that was just not mentioned was that this library has the potential to attract newcomers to the town, and newcomers would pay additional taxes and could lessen the tax burden on the people that are already here. I think young couples with small children, if they were touring Cairo considering moving here and they saw a wonderful library that has all the great programs it has now, plus the ability to have more, I think that would be great. And I think you can see the need, too, for the town. Right now, if you look around this room, it's too crowded. And that meeting room that they showed looks larger to me and looks like it would be a much better place to have these kind of meetings so we could accommodate more local townspeople.
Also, something else, Rich, that I checked out the library website. I think some of those figures could be put up there to make people more aware, because if you access that site, quite honestly, it doesn't even have current library board members on it. So that to get information out, that's another vehicle that the library board could use to disseminate the positive information that needs to get out to the public, especially those who can't attend these meetings because they're working, because they're at the food pantry, because they can't afford to come here for whatever reason, because they can't hire a sitter or whatever, that to get more information to the people.
The point I'm trying to get across, Carol was one of the lowest taxed for library in
And I understand what you're saying, but maybe the board needs to get that on their site so people can find that out.
Right.
Yeah, I can actually
address that. Yeah.
Caroline, I appreciate you mentioning about the website. Actually, we pay Mid Hudson to host the website, so it's not something I can go in and change. And I guess I have let it slide that I haven't updated it, but it's not one of those websites where I can go in and update it from day to day. It's something I have to notify them, and then they do that. We certainly, as we move into this project, it would be on the website. We are advertising it on Facebook and in the newspaper and many other ways, and just going out and talking to various groups, and we will continue to do that.
The web
and
being terms, such a way of disseminating.
Absolutely. I appreciate you bringing that to my attention. In terms of the cost, Jill mentioned $35 a year based on a $100,000 assessment. So if your house is assessed at $80,000, you're paying less than that now. Caro is in the bottom one-third of per capita spending for the library and the entire Mid-Hudson library system. I live actually in Catskill, and I pay 50-some dollars for a house that's assessed at a lot less than $100,000, just as a point of reference.
Yes, Dan. Hi, John. I have three brief comments. First, I hope that with the Middleburg Library that you presented, it's on the main street in Middleburg. This is not, I hope that we've got the right placement for the library being tucked back here. It'd be much better, I think, if we could actually find a place more on Main Street where to go. To that end, perhaps there's if the board has looked into it, a benefactor in town who might donate his property or her property in exchange for calling it the so-and-so Memorial Library or something like that, giving them a mention on it. The other thing, a couple things I would say is, with the design of the library that you have and the parking, I'd like to see if the parking could perhaps be put behind the building move forward, and then you could take and expand the front lawn, the outside space is maybe an outdoor reading area for the good weather, something like that, and then hide the vehicles that are coming there behind the building and have a more attractive facade to it. And the only other comment I would make is, you know, everybody's always looking for space. The county is always looking for space. Municipalities are always looking for space. I hope that when you build it, if you build it, it's actually big enough that 10 years from now, you're not looking and saying, oh, I wish we had built it an extra 3,000 or 5,000 feet bigger. And that's my comment.
John, just in response to that, would be when Paul Mays and Turner Construction did the original feasibility study, they noted on that study that there is room for expansion on the other end of that building. And you're absolutely right. By the time we finish building it now, you know, it's we'll be looking to expand some more. But if we can make it as big enough now as we possibly can to accommodate us for 20 years, then I think we'll be in huge shape. But there will be room for expansion. We stick with the 7,000.
Well, I've heard three or four people in here comment that is it feasible to make this the library with a new facade, being on Main Street, maybe build a new town hall in the back, which doesn't need to be on Main Street. This kind of goes with what you're saying and what everybody else is saying. I also believe it should be on Main Street. Schoharie worked and building. I don't know if anything would grow off of that, building that back there, putting such a pretty building back in a corner parking lot, what would it inspire, what would it grow? So, and it's a quality of life issue. It's $58 worth of quality of life issue for this town. I mean, we have a lot of inadequacies in our town currently now. If we have an opportunity to improve quality of life, is $50, $58 a year too much money? Yeah. You gotta ask yourself that.
Yes. Okay. One of the things those are some excellent points. And one of the things we looked at in the study a few years ago were different versions of how we might accomplish that space on this overall site, not just the back part, but where this building is, including tearing down this building and replacing it with something new, renovating this building for library or town hall and so forth. The most cost-effective ended up being that one for the following reason. The library is primarily focused on large, open, and flexible space so that as library collections change and technologies change, you're able to maintain current library services. Town and municipal offices, for the most part, are focused on smaller cubbies of individual areas, and so the renovation of this building into the various services provided by a municipality is a little easier than renovating this building into a library, for example.
I'm asking a question for a long term. Rejuvenate Main Street.
Yes.
And maybe we should wrap this all in.
I understand.
Into one concept.
And I agree with both you gentlemen who expressed the idea that an engagement with Main Street should be an important feature. We talked about trying to at least get walkways and so forth to it. The fact that the buildable area is back there and the fact that the board is very concerned with the budget as well obviously would start to color some of those questions of what we can accomplish and what we can't. But creating an area that also doesn't infringe on the ability of the municipality to provide services, so bringing the building up, for example, to Railroad Ave and putting the parking behind, which somebody had mentioned, is an opportunity to look at. By the same token, it's going to push all the parking further back from both buildings. So it's a smart growth idea in terms of putting the building as the main facade and putting parking behind it. Whether we can accomplish it on the site, it's an odd-shaped site, if you know, sort of a Z shape to it that makes it difficult. But it's something we can explore and look at. We won't just drop that. It's something to think about. Absolutely. So thank you.
Anybody else?
As far as the location of it, I like the idea of the campus concept, having the town buildings and the library in the same campus area, so to speak. And we can't forget the fact that the town owns that property, so there's not going to be another expense of going out and purchasing land. And with the walkway from Main Street, I think we could develop that to the point where you would have access, and it would just would be a nice concept of a campus type of thing.
Buddy?
I'd like to talk as a parent, as a business owner, and as president of the chamber. When we moved here 23 years ago, the library was the first place I went with my young children, to meet other mommies, to teach them about reading and teach them about learning. As a business owner, I think focusing on our Main Street, creating a campus, I too would like to see a building on Main Street. I don't know if it's feasible to happen, but creating a campus with a library attracts families and attracts businesses. For example, I don't know, Ewald, if you have a young couple that's going to start working at your company, do they ask about the school? Do they ask about libraries? Do they ask about what's in the town? I know when they come into my office, they do. They want to know, what does Carol have? Why should I move here? What does it cost to live here? And what are my kids going to have to do? So I think it's an incredibly wonderful idea to have a library. As a chamber president, I think it's just, we can't stress more why a business should move to Caro. For quality of life, for expansion, for growing your family, for paying taxes, for getting income. We don't have a lot of tax base in this mm-hmm. town, and it would be great to have that tax base. So that's my comment.
Thank you.
This is not within the tone of what you're talking about. You're talking about money and things like that, and I think just for a second I'd like to remind all of us what the library is for, and this is just something I wanted to read. The library is the heart of a town. Not only is it a place where you can keep warm in the winter, it is a center of education and learning. It is a place of pleasure. You can read words on a page while sitting in a stimulating environment, or take books home and read in front of a sunny window, or in bed before sleeping, for free. You can borrow CDs and listen to music at home or in the car while traveling, for free. The richest and the poorest, our library does not discriminate, not by the color of our skin, our pocketbook, our finances, our gender, our age. We are given the opportunity to read, to borrow books, with the wisdom of the ages or today's scholars. Those are people who can help us lead lives with more ease. From Dr. Phil to the Dalai Lama, from Gandhi to your favorite humorist. At the library, we can learn to dance, to exercise, to make decorations to beautify our environment, be transported to another time or place, or learn how to change the world to be a better place than it is now. It is a place of challenge where one can stimulate the mind and the spirit. It is a place where one can learn to heal, to gain information to heal an ailing body or the soul. From the youngest toddlers walking into the children's room to see, touch, or feel the world of fantasy and pleasure, to the oldest who walk with wobbly legs into the world of words bound into the corners of a book. If one can no longer afford magazine subscriptions, you can get magazines at the library. If Netflix is out of our budget and movies at the mall too expensive and too far, the library uses a library loan to get us movies and books to enjoy in the comforts of home, keeping us supplied with entertainment. If you need help finding a job, need to use a computer, need to come in to be with people because there is no one at home for us, the library is a home for all that is good in us. We have the privilege in America of going to our local library and learn to live better in the world, make it a better place for all Americans, a place for ourselves and for all people. Let's not forget to help our place of learning, where we can go from our birth to old age. In these difficult times, the volume of use of our library has become so intensified, yet continues to be so short-funded. I hope that we can be the change that makes a difference to our town and its heart center, our library.
anybody else would like to make any comments?
Yes.
First of all, we have a lot of citizens in this town. I've yet to see any construction work for any town that came in within budget, first of all. Second of all, we keep running shorter and shorter of money, even in the school. The school is complaining that they're going to be cut down close to $500,000 or $500,000, only because the children or the families are moving out of the area and they don't have the kids in there to have to come to the state to pay for them at all. This money's got to come from someplace. Don't get me wrong. I believe in a library. No two ways about it. I came here all the time with my grandchildren. But the fact is, money is a big problem with us. How we work that out, I don't know. But there must be a way. There's got to be some way to do it.
Would anybody else like to comment?
Doug? I just want to make one comment. I was on the library board, so you know I'm a fan of the library itself. And I think it's like preaching to the choir. Most people in this room are in favor of libraries. But all I saw was the growth of this town, and everybody complained about nothing happening, nothing moving forward in this town. We have problems. And I grant you what the man's gentleman's statement is right. Money is an important issue. But I think we can't let it lose sight of the fact that if we don't invest in the town to make money, we're not going to get anywhere. We're going to be right where we were, worrying about money. We have a lot of prospects coming up with the new supermarket possibly coming in, with a professional realtor coming in, developing the land. We have a hope that we can get to the bottom of fixing our sewer system so we have infrastructure that we can offer some new businesses coming into town. I drove past that Middleburg Library, and Paul, you had a great presentation, and so did Jill. And I drove at it past for 10 years, watching that town grow. It was town. Middleburg was like Carroll. It was, you know, empty, a lot of empty buildings. Nothing was going on. It was a small country town. But I watched that library. I couldn't figure out what they were building at first when I drove by. Then I started seeing the structure. I said, oh. Then you watch UB's. You watch the barbershop right next door to it. It's an impetus. It's what Claudia said. We need that development. People ask what's in the town. They see a library. We visited a few at the other libraries in the other towns, and they were eye-openers, and they must have spent a fortune on some of them. We're not asking for a lot. The people are not asking for a lot. They're looking for something within reason that Carroll can build onto. If we bring in that supermarket, we start developing, and we start developing, we'll start to see other businesses start to fill up this street here. We've got a lot of good people. I think we've got a lot of momentum in the town right now between the Chamber, the Rotary, and all the other groups, the civic groups that are working hand-in-hand. There's a lot of incentive right now to move, and I think it would be really foolhardy to let the opportunity go by. At least let's try it. Let's try it anyway. Let's take that best shot and go forward with it, because I think this is an opportunity. And a library will do more than just provide books and tapes and all that stuff. My Netflix bill is probably $8 a month or something like that. If I figure it out, but I can get the things here. But you know, that's something. Just put it in perspective of what your budget is and think about it. We're gonna try to pare down the price so that it's really within reason. So that's my.
I've had conversations with DEC, and they are receptive to this idea of this project. Yes, Mrs. Stern.
The number $3 million, it's staggering. You know, that sounds like a lot of money. That's the top. That's the most that we could even borrow. We're working on many, many things. We're hoping, you know, money comes from other places. We're working really hard. So it would reduce that. So don't let that scare you, that number. It's a big number. But it's not going to be that final number. That's as much as we can borrow, but we might not have to borrow that much. And if we borrow it and find we have some help from somewhere, I don't know where, but we're working on it, that would reduce that $50. It sounds like a lot of money, but it really isn't. But for years, we've talked about a sewer, and our taxes went up. We still don't have a system. For years, we talked about a supermarket. Our taxes went up. We still don't have one. For years, we talked about sidewalks, and our taxes went up. And we still don't have them. And the same with a retail complex. Taxes went up. We still didn't have anything. So here we are. We have a chance, a real good chance, of getting something for Carroll, which we really, really, I'm sure everybody says we do need a library. It's how we pay for it. But that number is the max, and I'm sure it's not going to be that high.
If you do geothermal and sonotubes and whatever else you do, are there tax incentives or tax breaks on that, not just savings on the... Because I can tell you this year, we're not paying any taxes for having put those systems.
There are, a geothermal system is one of the fundable projects for incentives by NYSERDA. We often work with the New York State Energy Research and Development Agency from the beginning of a project to determine which systems are going to have the best payback and which ones they'll maximize the incentives. So one of the examples, I didn't have a slide of it because it's a much larger library. This is not an exact replica of something we might do here. But the Wisner Library down in Warwick is a 20,000 square foot building, heated and cooled with a geothermal system. And they just received actually an incentive back from NYSERDA, a check in the amount of $30,000 strictly for the geothermal system. They're also getting other incentives for occupancy sensors and the daylight harvesting systems and other sustainable design features. So yes, we do work with other agencies, and that's one of the many things amongst the loan component, the grant components, and incentive components that can help offset some of the costs
some
of the project.
Because I was thinking of Caroline's question that, you know, some of those expenses are not going to be apples to apples because there's so much savings in using
that's
those.
Right. In the long term, they will have savings. And I don't want to mislead you by saying NYSERDA covers the whole cost.
No, it's not
like they pay for the entire thing. But by offsetting some of that cost, it actually makes the payback even sooner because you're taking down some of the upfront costs. You're absolutely right.
Cindy, one last time. Okay, Luann, and then Janet.
Is the town board voting tonight to bring this to a permissive referendum so that the people in the town can vote whether they want to move forward and take out a bond for this?
At our regular board meeting, yes.
They're going to vote to have a permissive referendum where people could vote?
We're going to discuss it during our new and old business, and then we will either proceed with it during the resolution part of the meeting or not.
Well, I just want to say that I've been working with the library board as one of the liaisons for 2 years, or just over 2 years, and I've been to many of the meetings, not all of them. And I don't think it's realized how hard they have really worked on this project. And this is not something they just thought of and thought, oh, isn't this nice? They've done research and phone calls and letters and work on the internet and... have been incredibly dedicated to this project, and that is even before I knew them. This is something that they have worked extremely hard for, and probably harder than any particular group has worked for anything else in Cairo, I believe. So thank you.
All right, at this time, we are running extremely late. At this time, what I would like to do is ask for a
Excuse me. One more speaker, I think, Josh. Would you mind? He came all the way up from Poughkeepsie.
I'll be very brief. Director of the Mid-Hudson Library System. Okay. 30 seconds. Sure. Not a problem. I just want to tell you, I'm Josh Cohen. I'm the director of the Mid-Hudson Library System. We work with libraries in 5 counties, 66 libraries. And I've been working with a lot of communities on buildings. And it's really fantastic what you're thinking about. But we've seen every library that's been built in a town, we start out like this. We start out with some people for it, some people against it, some people worried about the cost. When you start talking about these numbers, as Dodd said, $3 million, it sounds like a lot. But in every situation, once that library was built, even the people who were worried about it at first were very proud of that library. They supported it. I live in New Paltz, New York. We did an expansion a number of years ago, and there were people who wrote letters to the editor saying, more, more taxes, and our taxes are probably worse than yours. But when the building was done and they walked in there, they said, you know, this was worth it. Because it wasn't that much. I mean, it was a little bit of tax, but they said in the end it was worth it. And most communities, when that library is done, say this was really worth it. And they've seen their community improve, and they've seen more activity in their community. So I really think, hope you support it and think about those things. So thank you. Thank you for a quick little.
And I think it
behooves
the library
board
to get that message out about the positive.
And what I would like to just say in closing quickly is, first of all, thank everybody for their comments. We as at the town board and the library board take those comments seriously, and we'll use those comments to determine where we go from here. I want to especially thank Jill for all her hard work, because she really did put a lot of time and effort into this. as the other board members did too, but Jill, it was definitely a true board effort to get this project here tonight, and I want to thank all of you for doing that. So at this time, what I would like to do is have a motion to close the public hearing. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, at this time, the public hearing for the proposed library is closed at this time.